Lamentations. Jeremiah was a prophet. He warned the people to repent. And if I don't do that enough, repent. Get right. Get that sin out of your life. Sin is going to destroy you. It'll destroy your body. It'll destroy your mind. It'll destroy your spirit. If you're not saved, it'll destroy your relationship with God. If you are saved, it'll destroy your prayer. We need to get sin out of our lives. We need to repent. We need to turn to God. We need to trust God. We need to trust God in all the decisions of life. We need to pray and not rely on our own logic, experience, and wisdom, and even that of our counselors. It's good to have many counselors, but it's important that we look to God and ask for Him to show us the way. And so we need to turn to Him. And Jeremiah preached to the people to repent. And he counseled them to turn to God and trust His ways and trust His word. He prophesied of coming judgment. I don't think we need prophets today to tell us judgment's coming. Hard times are ahead. Hard times are here, for that matter. It's going to get worse. You look at what's going on in the world and how insane it is, the things that they're doing, things that they're embracing, and you wonder where America went. Here we are, trying to stand up for what's right and share the truth, and we've got these people who are troubled in their own hearts and their own lives, and they're trying to lead the kids in that direction, and we're in trouble. Judgment's coming, and something's going to happen to America. Now, will we be raptured first? I hope so. I hope Jesus comes today, takes us all home. That'd be wonderful. Or will we have to endure some of that trouble that's coming? Will we still be alive when the chip's already here, isn't it? Will we still be alive when the pressure is on? Guys, we're moving so close. All the signs are there. All this stuff since you were little in church has been preached is here, isn't it? Is anything missing except the rapture and the Antichrist? I mean, it's all here. And I'm warning you, if you're not saved, don't wait till the end of church. Right now, from your heart to God's heart, say, God, save my soul. I trust in Jesus. I repent of my sin. I surrender my life to you. I trust you with my soul. Now ask His forgiveness. Don't wait. Because it's near. Jeremiah preached that it was near. God told Jeremiah, and Jeremiah told the people, he said, look, you're going to be taken into captivity, and you're going to be there for 70 years. A whole nation of people. That's not true. They left the derelicts behind. But all the good people, they said, they're going to be taken away for 70 years. How many of you plan to be around another 70 years? So we wouldn't be here, would we? It'd be our children and our grandchildren. We'd have to leave our homeland and be gone for the rest of our lives. And that's what they were facing. Jeremiah said, that's what's going to happen. If you don't repent. Did they repent? No, they didn't repent. You see, the problem with us is that we repent about 11:30 Sunday morning, and by 12:30 we're right back in the sin. We realize that the Bible is true and that God is true and what the preacher says is right, and we turn it over to God and we surrender everything, and by evening we're right back where we started. That won't work. We've got to be Christians on Sunday through Saturday. We've got to be devoted to God all week, all the time. And when we have to stand up for truth, we need to stand up for truth. Because the longer we back down and let them have the bullhorn, the more our voice is going to be pushed away. We've got to stand for what's right, no matter what it costs. Think about those who've died and battle for our freedom to protect our nation and protect our rights. Think of those who died along the way, martyrs for the Bible, because they thought that everybody ought to have an opportunity to have a Bible. They killed them for that. because they said, no, they should have to come to the priests to learn what God says. So they killed everybody who copied down the Bible to hand out to people. Isn't that awful? You say it's awful. Yeah, but you know they're still doing that in countries around the world because they don't want the people to know about Christ. They're still killing them. I got a message from a fellow yesterday in Pakistan. They're burning churches, burning Christians' homes. They say, you got to get this Christianity out. And he showed me the cities, the pictures, the videos of these people who are just being destroyed. Why? Because they're not Muslim. That's the only reason. They don't want to hear about Jesus in Pakistan and those places. So there's somebody somewhere standing for what's right, and it's costing them something. And God's people in America have got to be willing to stand up for what's right, even if it costs us something. But that's where we draw the line there. Well, if it's going to cost me something, I don't want to do that. If it's going to be risky, I don't want to do that. If it's going to be dangerous, I don't want to do that. And so I'll just go along with it. And I'll laugh at it. And I'll be entertained by it. The problem is, the Bible says, and Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. That's all it took. That was the first step. And then where did we find him next? His tent wasn't pitched toward Sodom. He was living there and sitting in the gates with the leaders of the city. It's just one step. We've got to turn our hearts to God and say, God, no matter what, I'm sold out to you. I'm surrendered to you. I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to pretend like it's okay. I'm going to stand for what's right and what's true all the way. Not only the things that the church stands against, but the things that the church has embraced that they shouldn't have. Jeremiah preached and he said, be warned. Repent. But they didn't repent. We come to Lamentations 3 and we realize that when Judah was conquered, Jeremiah was so heartbroken and defeated. Do you understand what it is like to love people and to preach to people and to counsel people and to warn people? I'm telling you that those drugs are going to destroy families, going to continue to destroy families. This sex craziness that's going on in our country continues to not only destroy families, but to destroy children. And I have no use for somebody that'll do that. And my tolerance is growing even less. I don't know how it could, but it is. A rope's too good for them, but it's the best solution we've got. We continue down this road, and every time somebody stands up for them, they end up committing suicide somehow. The powerful craziness in this country will continue. What can we do about it? Stand for what's right, do what's right. Jeremiah was heartbroken. As he preached to people and he tried to help people and he tried to warn people and they ignored him. I stand before you as a pastor for, I've been here 18 years and been pastoring for 30 years, I guess, 31, 32 years. The number of lives that I've seen who will sit in these pews and listen to the gospel preached and listen to the Bible preached and go right out those doors and sin again anyway. Go right out those doors and go back into the filth of this world and they think they can play with it. But I'm telling you, if you play with it, it'll bite you. And then they're gone. We go searching for them and call them back, but they're so busy in their lives. They're busy with the distractions of today. The devil will use distractions to keep us from doing what God's called us to do. And keeping our kids out of church and our kids grow up, what happens when they don't get Jesus? What happens when they don't learn about God? What happens when they don't know the Bible? What's going to happen to the next generation of our country if the parents today won't get those kids in church? Jeremiah's heartbroken. So am I. Heartbroken because people won't listen. I'm trying to save your marriage. I'm trying to save your home. I'm trying to save your children. By telling you, get in this book and stay in this book. Get in church and stay in church. Stand up for what's right. On the street corner, in the marketplace, at your job, at your home, do what's right. But they didn't listen. Jeremiah was personally broken. And they came and invaded and they took all the people away. Jeremiah didn't get taken. You see, it didn't affect him. But it affected them. And he stayed there heartbroken. Look at verse 48, chapter 3. Don't get your hopes up. We're going back to verse 1. He says, "Mine eye runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. Mine eye trickleth down and ceaseth not without any intermission." Jeremiah says, all I can do is cry. I'm just so heartbroken. All I can do is weep because of the brokenness. Guys, look at what's going on in our country. We can blame the politicians, but we better take some blame at the church and say we didn't do what we should have done. We haven't been on top of it as we should have been. Verses 1 through 12, Jeremiah says, "I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has led me and brought me into darkness, not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turns his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He has broken my bones. He hath builded against me, compassed me with gall and travail, set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He has hedged me about that I cannot get out. He has made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer." This is Jeremiah talking about God. Do y'all see that? How can someone who's preached and served God get to the point in his life where he says, "I can't hear from God. I can't even talk to God. God's not hearing me. God has abandoned me." That's what he's saying. Look at verse 9. "He has enclosed my ways with hewn stone, made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear, lying in wait, as a lion in secret places. He has turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces and made me desolate. He has bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow." Well, hold on just a second. How many of us ever felt that way? God's turned his back. Life is a mess. It's upside down. And everywhere we turn, there's trouble. And every time we turn around, something breaks down or something doesn't work. And every time we turn around, we're being lied about or stabbed in the back. And every time we... just one crisis after another. And we say, "How could God let me go through? I'm saved. I walk with God. I serve God. I do what's right. How come God has turned his back on me?" That's how Jeremiah feels. That's the preacher. Y'all ever see this in the Bible? That God has treated, and you know what God said? God said, "That needs to be in the Bible. People need to read that." People need to see that sometimes even God's people reach a point of despair and loneliness and isolation and the feeling of being lost. Jeremiah says, "What happened to the good old days? What happened to the good times with God and the good times with God, with God's people?" He says, "I'm heartbroken. I can't stop crying. Emotionally, physically, spiritually isolated." Jeremiah the prophet says, "God's abandoned me. I feel lost. This is not what a Christian should have to go through. This is not what God's children should have to experience," right? Verse 17. "Thou hast removed my soul far off from peace." I forgot prosperity. I forgot what it's like to feel good and to be good and to have a good life. Verse 18, "I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. You ever just sit back and look at all the troubles of your life? I don't encourage it. But from time to time we do, don't we? We just look at all that's going on and what's wrong and we say, God, where are you? And this is the preacher. Jeremiah says in verse 20, my soul has them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. I look at all the trouble in my life and the things I've been through, and he says, they're still there, and I'm humbled. Verse 21, this I recall to my mind. Therefore, because of that, I have hope. Why do you have hope, Jeremiah? Because of all the stuff I've been through, I've survived all of it. Because of all the times where I didn't think I could make it through the day, I did. Because of all the times where I thought everybody was against me, somehow I came out on top. When we worry and we stress and we struggle through the day and through the weeks or through the months and we feel like God is not hearing our prayer, He has not turned away. If we seek Him, we will find Him. The Lord has heard our prayer. Jeremiah says, because of that, I had no peace and no hope. All I had was misery. But then as I think about it, guess what? That gave me hope. Verse 22. The Lord is my portion. Oh, verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. Jeremiah, you want to go to Babylon? Not interested. Don't want to go. Really? Because we're taking everything, we're burning everything down. Jeremiah says, nope, don't want to go. Well, you need to go. Don't want to go. I'm going to stay here. As bad as it is, I'm going to stay here. My hope is in God. I don't need stuff. I just need God. If I lose it all, I've still got God. The Lord knows what He's doing. I put my life in His hands, and everything and everyone He takes away, He's in control. I'm going to trust Him. And I'm going to be faithful to Him. Job, curse God and die. Not going to do it. Nope, not going to do it. By the way, that wife of his that was so much not a blessing to him, In that moment, guess what? You say, ooh, that's not a very good marriage. They had 10 kids later on. They must have figured it out. They must have gotten it all worked out. Their life recovered. Guys, the point is no matter what we're going through right now, what? This too shall pass. It's not forever, it's just for now. God's compassions fail not. They're new every morning. We hope in Him. Look at what He says in verse 25. The Lord is good to them that wait for Him. Just keep trusting. Oh, but preacher, you always say that. Just keep trusting. Just keep trusting. To the soul that seeketh Him. Verse 26. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. I don't know what God's going to do, but I'm going to stay with Him. I don't know how He's going to work it out, but He always comes up with a way. I'm just going to wait for Him. I mean, I'm not going to sit on the couch and eat Cheetos and just pray. I'm going to be part of the solution if I can be, but I'm going to hope in Him. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep working for Him and living for Him. Verse 27, it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. That's an interesting statement, Jeremiah. Who do you think you are, Solomon? Right? A young man, bear the yoke in his youth. What does that mean? Well, number one, It makes sense to us as our bodies begin to age that we don't want to work that hard anymore, do we? Can't work as hard as we used to. And we, you know, I know we try. I know we say, well, I'm still a man. I can still do it all. Hey, your body's not going to put up with that. It'll throw you down. And so we've got to learn to, when we get to that point, listen to your body and slow down. And quit if you need to. Quit working so hard. Get you some young people and tell them to do it, right? Let them do the work. Got nothing to prove. Look, age, that's where we use that wisdom up here. And quit using it in our muscles like we used to. It's good that a man bear the yoke in his youth. But that's not it. That's not the only thing. Also in our youth, how many of us are smarter today than we were when we were younger? Why? Because in our youth, we did things that were dumb, didn't we? Did y'all? I know I did. If I could go back, I would certainly, if I had the wisdom today, I would certainly do some things differently. But I was young and I was dumb. I didn't have the experience, the knowledge. I didn't have the appreciation for the things I do now. I'd go back and do some things differently. But what Jeremiah is saying, we do that when we're young. Why? So that when we're old, we'll be smarter. When we're older, we'll know better. So it's good for us to have some of those experiences while we're young, learn through our struggles, so we'll have wisdom later. The Lord will not cast off forever. Let's get back in our setting. Jeremiah's in Jerusalem. The city's been burned. The population's been taken away. The best and the brightest have been taken to Babylon. Jeremiah's left saying, why didn't they listen to me? Well, they should have listened. What was the point of preaching if the people weren't going to repent? And now here I am with the derelicts is all that's left. The city that's been burned and torn down, and now what do I do? Well, what does he say? He says, the Lord will not cast off forever. He stands back and he looks and he says, maybe this time we can build it back better. Maybe this time we can do a better job. Maybe this time we can make a few changes here and there and make it better than it used to be. Because they've learned through their struggles. Verse 40, he says, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. You know, he's grieving over those that have been taken captive. But then he looks around. He says, you know what? Let's see what I can do with this group here. Let's see if I can reach these people. Let's see if we can raise up a great nation out of these people that are left. Yeah. Let's see if I can't keep preaching. And maybe we can rebuild. Maybe we can have a greater group than we had before. Maybe we can have a greater nation than we've ever been. Maybe this time we can get it right. Isn't that our hope? Each time a child is born, each time someone comes to Christ, we think maybe this time we can teach them everything they need to know. Maybe this one is really going to make a difference. Verse 41, he says, let us lift up our hearts with our hands unto God in the heavens. Jeremiah looks around at what's left. He's given up. He's defeated. He's thrown up his hands. He says, where is God? I can't stop crying. I'm defeated. I'm throwing in the towel. Doesn't seem like God even cares about me anymore. Doesn't seem like God's listening. And as he begins to complain to himself, God opens his heart and opens his eyes. And Jeremiah says, hey, you know what? Let's go back at it. Let's give it another shot. Let me see what we can do from here. Because in all of his musings, he says, I'm like a dead man buried. But hold on, I'm not buried nor dead. I got to do what I'm doing. I got to do what God's called me to do. I got to reach the people. I got to make a difference. I got to warn people about sin. I got to warn people about confusion. I got to warn people about the devil. And I got to point people to Christ and tell them, raise your hands and let's worship God. Yeah. Jeremiah quit for just a minute. Y'all ever do that? He gave up on his faith for just a minute. And then he got back to it. Guys, there's no doubt in our lives there have been struggles. In fact, based on our humanity, we wouldn't blame you if you quit. But God has not forsaken you. God has not cast you off forever. If you're ready to serve God, seek Him, pray. Reach out to Him, say, God, I don't think you're finished with me yet. And I'm going to follow you. And I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to worship you. And I'm going to do whatever you have for me to do. But I'm not going to quit. And I'm not going to sit over here and pout and cry and raise a fuss like a little two-year-old. I'm going to live for you, and I'm going to praise you. I'm going to speak of your greatness. Yeah, there's disappointments because we live in a fallen world. Not only that, we've contributed to it. But when we turn our hearts to God and say, God, I'm all yours, as the world goes on around us, we keep our focus on our Savior. And we find grace in Him. Would you stand? Father, we love you as we look at Jeremiah this morning and the lament, the brokenness is something that surely each of us has felt in some measure along the way. And then we find His hope. And that's what we need. We need that hope. To keep going, to not quit, to not give up, even through the struggle, to keep our faith in you. Lord, deal with each of us the way you should, the way we would, in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar's open if you want to come and kneel and pray. You want me to pray with you? What's on your heart this morning? You can pray where you are, just between you and God. Would you say, God, I'm a sinner. I put my faith in you. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Because I see what's going on in the world and I see your word is true. The prophecy is true. It's coming to pass. And I don't want it to pass me by. God, I put my faith in you. And ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. Maybe you'll say, God, I've strayed, I've backslidden, I've fallen short. And I'm sorry, but I want you to use me. I surrender my life to your service. Use me. Or God, I'm turning away from all of that sin. I'm not going to play anymore. I realize the time is short. And the need is great, and I give my life to you. What's on your heart this morning? I'm not going to worry, God. I trust you. I'm going to do my part, and I'm going to trust you. Dismiss us, please.